The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Bob Burney Live.
Looking at today's news through a biblical worldview.
The theological world truly is upside down, inside out, in so many different ways. I don't think any of you are not familiar with the Reformation. Just a little over 500 years ago, a movement among religious conservatives, most of them, although not all of them, most of them within the Roman Catholic Church, rose up in opposition to several doctrinal positions of the Roman Catholic Church. Indulgences was one of them that prompted Martin Luther to post the 95 Theses. Salvation by grace alone, through faith alone, sola scriptura, sola fide, sola scriptura, stated that the Bible was the only source of authority, not the magisterium, not the the traditions of the church, and so forth. All right. That was 500 years ago, and there was a split. That's why they were called Protestants. They protested against many of the doctrines of the Catholic Church. All right. Fast forward to today. Those doctrinal issues have not changed one bit. A true Protestant or an evangelical believes in sola scriptura, that the Bible is the only authority, not the Bible plus the traditions of the church, the writings of the ancient fathers, and so forth. That's still true today. Catholics today believe exactly what they did 500 years ago, that the Bible is not the only authority. They believe in the authority of the Bible plus the traditions of the church, which is normally called the magisterium. That has not changed. Sola fide. True Protestants and evangelicals believe that salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone. Works are not involved at all. Baptism is not involved. The sacraments are not involved. Faith, grace alone. Catholics today believe exactly what they did 500 years ago. That salvation is a collaborative work between man and God. It is by grace, but Catholics believe that God gives grace to perform good works, to partake in the sacraments, and so forth. So, the doctrinal lines are the same today as they were 500 years ago. And that's fine. That's fine. And this has been my position through all of the years I've been doing a talk show on this radio station, which is now 30 years, 20 years daily, 10 years on Saturdays. I am not a Catholic basher by any means, but I have serious, deep theological differences with the Catholic community. And guess what? They do with me. Here in Columbus, we have a Catholic radio station. I listen quite a bit because I want to know what they're teaching, what they're believing, and so forth. And in the evening, they have a program called Catholic Answers, which is a live call-in program, similar to what I'm doing, but they're doing it from a Catholic perspective. And I have heard on many, 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 many occasions the apologists that are a part of that Catholic radio program saying, we have very deep, serious differences with evangelicals. Here's what we believe. Here's what they believe. And that's fine. That's fine. And we can debate it, and we can discuss it kindly, and we can understand. We do have some things in common, but we have some very, very important, serious issues theologically that we do not have in common. And with all of that said, the Catholic Church, basically, in spite of Vatican II and other changes, you know, eating meat on Friday and a lot of other things, there have been no major theological differences, no moves within the Catholic Church in the last 500 years. They believe today what they believed then. Although if this current pope gets his way for the first time in history, that may change. But anyway, that's another topic. On the other hand, many, many Protestants have moved in their faith, in their belief. They have compromised what they believed and come more to a Catholic position. So if we look at the last 500 years, for the most part, theologically, the Catholic Church has not moved. The Protestant Church, particularly the liberal Protestant Church, has moved greatly. They have moved greatly. I said all of that to get to this story, which is very, very significant. One of the leaders of the Reformation was John Calvin. John Calvin was French, but he did much of his work in Geneva, Switzerland. The church that has become known as Calvin's Cathedral is St. Pierre Cathedral in Geneva. So we have the church that has been called Calvin's Cathedral, and something unique and historic is happening in a couple of weeks. Here's the headline. Protestants to take Catholic communion at John Calvin's St. Pierre Cathedral in Geneva. Here's the story. For the first time in the 500 years since the Protestant Reformation, Protestants are set to receive Catholic communion during a Catholic Mass held at Reformer John Calvin's home church, the historic St. Pierre Cathedral in Geneva, Switzerland. What's that sound in the background? John Calvin spinning wildly in his grave. The church known as Calvin's Cathedral is one of the most iconic sites in all of Protestantism. Although, listen to this, although open communion is forbidden by Catholic doctrine, it is reportedly common in Geneva. St. Pierre Cathedral became the home of French Protestant reformer John Calvin, a towering figure in the Protestant Reformation who is regarded as one of the greatest theologians in Protestant Christian history. His personal chair still sits by the pulpit. Now here's, I think, the saddest part of this whole story. Quote, Parish Council President Daniel Pilley said he has faced no opposition to the idea of Catholic Mass at the historic church, nor Protestants receiving Catholic communion. In other words, no Catholics have rejected this, have complained, and no Protestants have. Now, many people who are involved in the ecumenical movement will be rejoicing and celebrating in this. Isn't this wonderful? Isn't this great? I'm not one of them. There are serious theological differences. Should we hate each other? No. Should we love each other? Yes. Should we talk? Yes. Should we dialogue? Yes. Can we cooperate in things of pro-life and so forth? Of course. But Protestants and Catholics do not believe the same concerning communion, the Lord's Supper, the sacrament. Catholics believe in the real presence of the body of Christ in communion. In other words, Protestants believe in transubstantiation, which is a fancy term, which simply means when a priest consecrates the bread and the wine, it literally, physically becomes the body and blood of Christ, and that is essential for salvation. You cannot be saved unless you receive Christ through the sacrament of communion. Protestants do not believe that. They rejected that. And that was one of the founding principles of the Protestant Reformation. This is a sign of the end times. And again, many, many, many people will be rejoicing and celebrating this. I don't think Catholics should be celebrating, and I certainly don't think Protestants should be celebrating. But it is happening, and yes, it is historic. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
Talk radio that makes a difference.
Makes a difference.
This is Bob Burney Live.
Just a quick thought to throw out. A question, yeah, probably more rhetorical, particularly since it's this late in the program. Do political attack ads motivate you to vote for the candidate who is doing the attacking? See, it doesn't mean. When I hear a particularly nasty attack ad, I have sympathy for the one being attacked, not the one doing the attacks. Some of the spots, the radio commercials, I mean, this is a primary. This isn't even the general election. Are some of the nastiest, most mean-spirited political ads I have ever heard. And had those candidates doing those mean-spirited attack ads, if they had asked me, and obviously they didn't, I would have told them, that's not going to help your cause. You come across as mean-spirited, angry, devious, and I don't know. It just has a completely opposite effect on me. Just personally, I would never vote for a candidate who goes so negative, so nasty. Just, I don't know. Maybe that's just me. I mentioned this just in passing yesterday. I am really praying for the Southern Baptist Convention annual meeting in Orlando this coming summer. I think it's in June 9th and 10th. It's going to be at the Orange County Convention Center in Orlando. And it looks like it is going to be one of the more contentious annual meetings in many, many years for the Southern Baptist Convention. There are many conservatives in the convention that honestly believe with all of their heart that the Southern Baptist Convention has begun to take a turn to the left, particularly with this critical race theory and social justice issues. And they're very sincere about it. Are the problems as bad as they're presenting them? I honestly don't know. I am not on the inside of the Southern Baptist Convention. I'm just not. I don't know personally any of the leaders, the bigwigs in the convention. So I don't know. Are there concerns? The concerns of the conservatives, are they justified? I don't know. But they're getting an enormous amount of publicity. They're getting a lot of attention. And they are determined to take back the convention. Here's one headline I'm looking at. Conservative Southern Baptist planning to show up and take control. Quote, concern over a leftward drift in the Southern Baptist Convention has the largest Protestant denomination in America at a crossroads as its messengers prepare to gather in Orlando this summer. Last summer in Birmingham, Alabama, the Southern Baptists approved a referendum that many said pandered to the social justice crowd. It was the most public result of what many observers say has been a years-long drift away from biblical priorities and toward cultural relevance. Now, again, is the problem as bad as some of the conservatives say it is? I don't know, because I'm not on the inside. But that particular resolution, I think, was a very bad resolution. And here's how I'm praying, and I'm suggesting this is how you pray as well. I pray that the leadership of the Southern Baptist Convention will be very sensitive to the concerns of some of these real conservative Southern Baptist pastors. I pray they will listen to them. They will listen to their concerns and address them in an open, straightforward manner. Many of the current leaders within the denomination are saying, this is all imaginary. We're not going to the left. It's imaginary. If it is, then pass some resolutions that will make sure that the denomination cannot drift to the left. Listen to them. Address their concerns in an open, straightforward manner. If there's nothing to worry about, then make that absolutely clear. But don't sidestep the issue. Serious stuff that will be addressed at the convention in June down in Orlando. And I said yesterday, God has used the Southern Baptist Convention probably more than any other denomination in modern history. I pray that continues. I do. Folks, have a wonderful evening. I'm headed to church tonight. I hope you are as well. But wherever you go and whatever you do, please remember whose you are.
Listen. Think. Discern.